You are about to journey against the current of contemporary thought and beyond the troubled waters of daily news to the very source of our extraordinary culture. You are going upstream with Cashel and Edge.
Hey, welcome world to, what's the name of the show? Upstream with Cashel and Edge.
That's right. Why do we call it that?
Because, well, let's go back to the genesis of the title.
You know, just to, for some of the newer
right,
viewers.
Right, there's our international viewers from various, you know, we have new viewers now from the various continents and incontinents. Yeah, probably more incontinents than continents. No, it comes from the motto of the late, great Andrew Breitbart, who believed that all politics is downstream from culture. And so most podcasts that I listen to focus on the day-to-day stuff, you know, on whatever is happening that day, the politics of that day. We go upstream to the source of those politics and bring that, enlighten our viewers and listeners with the truth behind the daily politics.
And you know what I'd like to do today?
What would you like
to do? For something different?
Tell me.
I'd like to go way, way, way downstream.
Okay.
Because the only way for us to get upstream is to start out by getting our act together downstream, and it's time that everybody did that, because I want to talk about something called subsidiarity.
It's like a six-syllable word.
It's a hard one to remember, too.
And do we have a shorthand for that? Do you have any mnemonic device?
Subsidiarity. No. Yeah. I just remember it's just harder than hell to remember.
Yeah, maybe we need to have like a little spelling, like, remember, I forget why we had to learn how to spell encyclopedia. And remember this as a kid? It's like
E-N-C-Y-C-L-O-P-E-D-I-A.
We had a little song for that.
E-N-C-Y-C-L-O-P-E-D-I-A.
Or Mississippi, M-I-S-S-I-P-P-I, right?
Yeah.
So we need something for subsidiarity to make that work.
Yeah, I mean, if it's going to catch fire, it's the time for it right now. I mean, we've been through these cycles before where it's kind of the way – you talk about building back better,
right,
as our good friends like to say.
Yeah.
That's really what needs to happen right now, because, you know, we got a lot of hot messes on our hands right now, and it's looking pretty scary.
Right. So our subsidiarity will do battle with their intersectionality.
That's right.
I mean, they're almost polar opposites.
That's right.
What the left did, no, the left didn't do it. We did it for them, and it was a brilliant shorthand. The word, they were no longer liberal. Our friends on the left are no longer liberal.
Exactly what I was going to talk about, Jack.
You and I, sorry to steal your thunder.
I mean, we're on the same track, baby.
And the word progressive was just too unwieldy, right?
How about
woke?
It goes even worse. What about going way back to the word, you know, socialism?
Right.
How'd they steal that? I mean, when you think about communism,
right,
for the community, the market should be communism. The market is the expression of communism, and not authoritarian top-down government has
right.
nothing to do with. But they took, it's like, you bastards took that one too.
They're word thefts, and they're word amenders. They amend words, they create words, and then they have the force of a shibboleth. We've talked about shibboleths before. Shibboleth is a word that the other side doesn't quite know or get. We took one of theirs and turned it on them, the word woke, which was a wonderfully concise way of saying, of consolidating all the madness on the left into one syllable word. But so they have they create words, and we have to play along with them, or we face consequences, or we're supposed to face consequences. So for instance, it used to be cutting someone's nuts off, which was bad. Now it's gender affirming care, right?
Right.
Or it used to be gay marriage or same-sex marriage, and then they made it marriage equality.
Well, and then you're stacking one on top of another.
Right.
Then gay.
Right.
Which that, you know, I mean.
Exactly. Just, I mean, even gay is a neologism.
But this is why zero-base, infinite-sum thinking is important. You've got to step back from this stuff.
That's why we're going downstream today. To get to the heart of what we're facing. The intersectional people are pushing downstream, polluting our mainstream.
That's right. And their objective, of course, is to take things to absurd paradigms where they can apply wholesale Hegelian dialectic and just get everybody completely screwed up.
Right.
To create chaos, essentially.
Yeah.
And I call those the complexity industry. I call those people the complexity industry, and their products are perverse incentives and plausible deniability. And they come at it at every level. And as you can see from what's going on now, the ground war, where they're attacking at the lowest level with the Soros-funded DAs and
school boards
down to the subsidiarity level.
Right, that's right.
And so what everybody's pulling their hair going, my gosh, you know, we're losing everything. We're losing our rights. We're losing the republic. Things are getting dangerous, expensive. There's this big push for the things like egalitarianism, and we know what that means.
Right.
Everybody is a Russian serf. And what we have to do is, what do we do, wringing our hands? What we have to do is we've got to look at the micro level.
Right.
And start pushing back on a micro level. And we've talked about it before. It's, you know, you call it, when you see the BS, you confront it.
Yeah.
Call it out.
Right.
Shame and embarrass and make fun of people who are coming in with absurd things. But when you're doing it in a little room, get to know your neighbors. Understand who in this neighborhood is a like-minded individual who's interested in advancing truth,
right,
and natural law, things like that, foundational things that need to be reinstilled in our country in order for us to get things back, simple things like law and order.
Yeah, and everyone has to be a warrior.
Exactly.
I mean, we're at the point where you simply cannot be a passive bystander.
No.
You can't sit there back and say, well, I don't like so-and-so, or, you know, that's an imperfect candidate. I mean, even at the local level, everyone's imperfect. Some people are more imperfect than others, but their candidates are inevitably more imperfect than your candidate. Oh, not inevitably, 99% of the time. And they're consciously imperfect.
And they're usually sent, they're an agent of some other force.
Usually, typically, right.
They're not self-examining and realizing, you know, most of us try to reflect upon issues and just everything that we face, and we try to do what we consider to be the right thing.
Right.
And that may be constitutionally, legally, it may be according to natural law, hopefully some kind of religious basis. In other words, not a completely worldly, zero-sum viewpoint.
Right.
As the people who are destructive almost universally share that perspective.
If they share any perspective at all, unless it's just, there's a lot of people who latch onto these movements because it's a power grab, and some of them latch onto it because other people latched onto it and they don't want to be the person who didn't latch onto it. So they get their sign, and in this house we believe in.
Right.
All that stuff.
I'm thinking there's a pattern that we don't like those yard signs.
No, we do not. You know, oddly, after the October 7th incident, I was thinking of posting something on my Facebook page, like a Star of David or something. And then I thought, no, I don't want to be like those people, you know.
Not even
for
in,
a good cause.
In humor.
No, because they've demeaned
right.
the good cause.
Right.
And so, plus, I don't want to get my house firebombed by the neighborhood jihadist, you know.
Well, once you stick something in your yard, your house is permanently implanted in their mind every time they drive by. They're like, one of these days, I'm going to.
Well, I'm going to give you a prime example, a local example of subsidiarity at work and the what can happen when the individual gets involved, right?
All right. This is what I like.
And this is in a microcosm for what could happen in the nation writ large, what I'm talking about. And everyone in our area will know what I'm talking about. I'll explain a little bit. But on April 2nd, and this show should air before that, it will. I mean, you may see it after April 2nd, April 2nd, 2024. You may see this in a time capsule, and they'll say, my gosh, these guys were, you know, they'll. We'll be like the Smithsonian, you know, where the subsidiary issue of Upstream with Cashel & Edge is here being presented just as a
no doubt
memorial to our prescience. But on April 2nd, Jackson County, Missouri voters will go to the polls to vote to see if we technically, if we extend the 3/8 cent sales tax for 40 years to support our two major sports teams, the Super Bowl winning Kansas City Chiefs and the knuckle dragging Kansas City Royals, who've had over the last 20 years the second worst record in baseball, with a blip in 2015 to win the World Series. And we're watching, and this is why it's such a useful microcosm, because the forces that are pushing for this tax represent, on a local level, the kind of forces that are pushing to control America.
Yeah,
it's kind of the corporate elite, the skinny jeans crowd, basic kind of progressive do-gooders. And all of a sudden—
Country club rhinos.
Country club rhinos, exactly. Right, that it's the blob.
The Chamber of Commerce rhino.
Right, it's our Jacobin class.
Yes.
Right? And I'll just refer to them as Jacobins. Jacobins in the 1789, I think I talked about this, a club formed to basically spearhead the French Revolution, using the mob to control the flow of action and accumulate power for themselves. Here's one little example of how it works, and we'll talk about the larger subject. They have millions, and they're spending millions, the Jacobins. Ads, TV commercials, yard signs, etc. My wife, who doesn't do social media, and has been inflamed by this, right? And she, one day, went out and posted a handmade no sign in my front yard.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Right? So then I said to her, you know, there's a way to amplify that. And she said, well, what's that? I said, well, let's take that picture and I'll put it on Facebook, right? So I did that. And I just said, you know, it's just a homemade no sign. Up against like these million-dollar campaign, big billboards, blah, blah, blah.
Yep, perfect example.
And I said, then we take it and we put it on Facebook to amplify it. We have no media support, right, on our side. And up till a month ago, I didn't know we had any support at all. I had written an article a year ago saying this is a ridiculously bad idea. Taking a ballpark that's in a perfectly located for the whole county, moving it downtown where no one wants it, that the Chiefs parade shooting just stuck a dagger in a lot of that idea. But what it did, it showed the potential damage that could be done. I mean, a single shooting downtown in a ballpark is the equivalent of a 20-game losing streak.
Right.
When
it's
it comes to
attendance. Huge risk, ongoing.
So
the parking tragedies and the
destruction of a whole neighborhood and
automobile accident, just all kinds
traffic,
of safety issues.
Yeah, right. And end of tailgating, end of taking your kids to the ballpark, right? Also that the neighborhood around there, the downtown revitalized neighborhood, will be sustained and brought in because it's still floundering.
It was an organically developed neighborhood that they didn't get their mitts on,
right,
is what happened, and they don't like that.
And what they want to do is pump new life into the Franken neighborhood they created about 20 years ago.
Well said.
And so I post the sign on Facebook, and then people who've never been on social media don't understand how it works. And the little thrill that comes with it, right? So I send to Joan after a day, I say, look at this, you got 75 likes, you know? Oh, I never do social. Oh, I don't social media, anything. And then every other day she'll come by, how many likes we have?
you've ruined her.
Yeah, I spoiled her. So now we're up to about 200 likes. We didn't pay a cent to reach 200 people.
I'm one of them.
98% of the people are, yeah, vote no. I'm totally with you, you know? And then I see other signs. And this is like a great awakening for a lot of people on those next door sites, you know, for the little neighborhood sites.
Yes.
Now, historically, as you know, the left has controlled those.
Oh, yeah.
But only not by any...
I used to really torture him on that thing when I was living in Westwood.
Yeah. Oh, and they're easily tortured.
Oh, so easily tortured.
This is Karendom, right?
Triggered.
Easily triggered.
Oh, yeah.
So I see this discussion. I've never initiated anything on him. I don't even know how, really. I haven't bothered because it's typically just neighborhood. But a lot of little petty crime stuff you got to pay attention to, or not so petty. Well, then some woman posts on my countryside neighborhood next door or whatever. She starts off very timidly. I'm not sure I should be raising this issue here, but is there anyone else out there who doesn't think the downtown ballpark is a good idea? And then like it's opening a floodgate, right? Of people saying, I was thinking the same thing. And these are like good Democrat voting. My neighbor's about 2/3 Democrat. And then some people saying, boy, I wish we had a media. Oh, yeah, you're just discovering that, right? Because all the media is lined up against the best interest of most Kansas City.
The absurdity is they're on their media when they're saying that.
That's right. That's right.
Well, and that goes to the point of, please, let's realize what we have and what we have to do with it.
Yeah.
It's a subsidiarity argument. Because it wasn't that long ago, Jack, when an issue like that would come up and there was no argument to be made by the opposition whatsoever.
There's no means of communicating.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Smoke signals.
Yeah.
Going knocking on your neighbor's door that you don't even like.
You get what do you call those things? We used to sniff in grade school.
A mimeograph?
Mimeograph machine, right?
I love those. I love the smell of those.
You know, I may have mentioned this before, but there's the word in the Soviet Union they used for this was the samizdat, which is the underground media. Because they had to circumvent the oppressive state-owned media. We don't have oppressive state-owned media.
No, ours makes...
Far from it, right? But...
We're so... I often wonder, are we worse than TASS?
Or Pravda?
Or Pravda?
Yes.
Probably, yes.
Because here's the difference. Is the readers of Pravda knew they were being lied to?
You're right. That's how effective the brainwashing, the gaslighting has been.
The readers in the New York Times still don't know.
I actually had a woman who was completely doing one of these hysterical freakouts when I asked her if this mutual friend of ours who just died of a sudden heart attack at 65 or something. I said, do you know if it was related to anything like the, you know what?
Right.
She went into a huge tirade and started accusing me of being a Trumpster and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it just turned into some, she was crying. It was in a public place. She was hysterical.
Right.
What do you know? And she goes, I only read the New York Times and the Washington Post. And I'm like,
hey, don't be bragging about
this,
honey.
That's the problem.
That's like saying, I only read Pravda and TASS.
Exactly.
Izvestia, you know.
Crazy, so that's a great example. Did I cut you short on your story?
A little bit, because I'm going to make a prediction here.
Okay.
And there's been, like I say, they've spent millions. They've rolled out their top guns, Travis Kelce, Pat Mahomes, Sal Perez, you know, baseball. And it's been a totally deceptive campaign. So what there's the billboards have a picture of the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Who just won a Super Bowl last month. And it says, keep the Chiefs in Kansas City. That's not the issue. This whole thing is being done to bring the Kansas City Royals downtown. Terrible. The worst idea in a competitive field here in Kansas City, the years I've been here, the worst idea. Everyone knows it's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
So on the site that I was telling you about, where the neighborhood site, 9/10 of the people are saying, yeah, right. Well, you're right. We can say this. We get to say this out loud. Like the first time they've defied the orthodoxy.
Right.
And then this one guy said, yeah, where's the stadium now? In the middle of nowhere? And I said, no, it's in the middle of Jackson County, where it's supposed to be. Why would anyone who lives... Right now, the stadium is a beautiful complex right in the middle of Jackson County.
They don't have any trouble getting people to go there.
No, it's great parking. It's accessible all over the county.
And they've created this subculture of tailgating that would be annihilated.
Annihilated downtown. Right. No more tailgating. Easy in, easy out. Plenty of parking. You see your families of like taking your kids, walking through the parking lot. And then on the other side, they're saying, people miss the thrill of walking through a downtown to get to a ballpark. Instead, they have to walk across acres of asphalt.
40 years ago, that story would have had some merit.
Yeah, right.
That ship is long sailed.
Long since sailed, absolutely.
My friend Bill Nigro, I saw his comments on Tony's Kansas City, which is another great outlet for subsidiarity.
Yeah, it's our very own Sami's Thought, right?
Yeah.
And
he said, you know, you drive by that stadium at night, those two stadia at night, and they're lit up. And he goes, it's remarkable.
Oh, it's a beautiful sight.
Yeah.
And I was, I don't go often to ball games. I probably should do more than I used to, but I used to go all the time when the Royals had a good team. But a few years ago, the last time I remember going without some sort of group thing, I had a luncheon meeting in the eastern part of the county, and it was a beautiful spring day.
That's a rarity.
And I had to wear a suit. I don't know why.
Another rarity.
Total double rarity. This is like all the stars are in alignment. And I am driving back in from the eastern Jackson County back towards downtown Kansas City, and I-70 goes right by the ballpark. It's just a gorgeous sight there. And I look over. And I see the stands are filling up. And I look at time, and I said, I bet there's a ball game today, an afternoon ball game, a weekday on a 65, 70 degrees sunny day. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm driving. I go past. I said, what do I have to do today? What's on my schedule? Blah, 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 blah. Two exits later, I said, no, I'm turning around. I turn around,
good
go back.
Good for you.
I'm wearing a suit. Pull in, parking lot, park. $20. I get a good ticket. You know, walk in by myself. I find myself sitting with these two old geezers who are there all the time. Now, to be an old geezer to me now, you've got to be an old geezer, but, and talking baseball, you know, it's just like baseball should be. Leisurely, you know, unforced, no timetable, you know, it's not like football or basketball.
Suit on. Did you have a hat too?
Yeah, I had a suit on. I said,
did you start talking like this? What about those Royals? That's quite a team, wouldn't you say?
I thought that wearing a suit to the ball game, people would think I'm the owner and treat me with respect. We've talked about this before. People always dress up to go to ball games, hats, suits, et cetera. But that's what you could do, just on a spur of the moment. And parking was not an issue. You just park right there. You know, maybe you got to walk 100 yards or whatever. But you're not going to get mugged on the way to the ballpark. You're not going to have to fight to find the space. You're not going to have to struggle to get out. Anyhow. Basically, the point of all this is that as a grassroots effort, no money, no media, no organization at all, I'm predicting here that it will lose by a 2-to-1 margin. The no side will have risen up and defeated the corporate elite. I could be wrong. I mean, it could be the other way around. I don't think I will be. I think I'll be right. I think they already know it. And it can be done, right? If you find the issue around which the population will coalesce. And it typically has to be local, to your point.
Yeah, and it goes, and what people fail to keep in mind is that when you solve these issues through the proper give and take of information, transparency and accountability,
right,
is so easy to create on a very small scale that as these things scale up, they tend to scale up properly. And so you don't suddenly get to a certain point where you're at the county level or the state level, and then all of a sudden everything turns into ridiculous, paradoxical BS arguments about transsexuals or something.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. And this goes back to something I've talked about a lot before, the 17th Amendment. That whole objective was to destroy subsidiarity.
Right, which what it ruled was that the voters elected the senators, not the state. It wasn't chosen by state legislatures.
Right, and that made everything a political football on a national scale.
Right,
which is what they relish.
Yeah,
because they can. Their whole deal is about propaganda, controlling the media, controlling the narrative, controlling the language, and then controlling individual liberty. And beating it down.
And also meant that a Senate seat, to win a Senate seat, even in a small state, is a multi-million dollar effort.
Yeah. All of a sudden, George Soros has a seat at the table.
That's right. Whereas before, when the legislator chose the senator, the party in power, who represents the people, would make that choice. And typically, ideally, they would choose a person that they would feel confident sending to Washington to represent their
Because they got to go back to a room
That's right.
that has a couple hundred people in it who they know.
Right.
And they will kick their ass.
That's right. Right.
That's the problem. There's no transparency and accountability. Everybody in favor say aye. Aye.
And that also does what, to your point as well, is that it makes these big, it flattens out important issues.
It does.
So they have to say the most benign and with just enough edge to get them by without really meaning what they're saying. And it's unfortunate. And that, you know, we've rolled back, actually, we only rolled back one amendment in our history.
Oh, yeah. The booze.
Yeah. That was, I believe that was the 18th.
Yeah.
I think it came right after the Senate.
All the bad crap that happened around between 1913 and 1917, 1920.
Yeah,
1920 was, I think, when that amendment kicked in with the
Volstead Act.
The Volstead Act.
Right.
And strangely enough, that was the first year women had the vote.
Yeah, how about that?
Huh?
And it's not unrelated. We'll talk
a
more about that. We'll talk more about that next hour because we're going to, well, next week, I should say.
Yeah.
Next week when we get together again with different clothes on. We'll talk about that because there was something else happened in that same time period.
That's right. A lot of stuff.
We'll hold that as a mystery. But you know what I see as an encouraging sign, though, is the emergence of state governments taking over social issues.
And they're being forced to, which is kind of weird. But however it gets there, I'm glad to see it, too.
But it makes sense.
It does. They're doing it. I shouldn't say that. We are getting a movement towards subsidiarity, but it's a defensive. It's a defensive incentive.
We're fighting what they've already imposed.
Right.
Right.
So, I'm glad we're getting there. That's the key thing. Is we've got to confront things, talk to people, write into little deals, focus on them. The micro, and then the macro takes care of itself.
Right. So, I mean, the state level is a mid-level response. And I'm thinking particularly of what Florida is doing with DEI, for instance.
Yes.
Which set the model for other states mimicking them, where this is a sort of kind of a top-down imposition of that you would have thought was incapable of being rolled back.
Yeah.
But they're doing it.
That's right. It's very simple jujitsu.
Yeah.
Really is. Because when you think of how they have somehow taken an absurd concept that is antithetical to subsidiarity, it's antithetical to natural law and to the Constitution and everything else. They've trotted out this phony baloney egalitarianism that they do, they use as a cudgel. And what has happened is, and there's stolen language and everything else that they do, logical fallacies. It's all crammed into these things, and they've shouted everybody down. Shut up.
Right.
Well, what's happening, as you say, is some of these states where everybody's not crazy yet.
Right.
there
are some of them. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, right.
This is ridiculous. Now, all of a sudden, there's another echo chamber between Alabama and Florida and Texas and Nebraska, and they're all talking. And now these guys, with their stupid, goofy DEI thing, are now on the forced into a defensive posture.
They have to explain themselves.
But they have no explanation.
Right. They have no explanation that that it accommodates the U.S. Constitution, that it accommodates the Civil Rights Act, or that it accommodates common sense, right? So they're defeated immediately with the argument, like at the University of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
How about our sports teams? You know, right?
And then the Charlie Kirks and the Bannons and all these other people get a little whiff that there's blood in the water.
Right.
And the next thing you know, they're drummed out of the human race for being complete idiots, and they just go away and move on. The shark gets hit in the nose, and it moves on to another idiotic issue.
Looking for new prey, right?
Looking for new chaos to create.
Right, right. Well, that's a good sign. I would say another likely source of local control or local action is the sheriff's office.
Oh, I was going to say, sheriff's, it's so important to support a good, if you've got a sheriff that's taking care of business.
Yeah.
And you watch how the political machination starts. You get the leftists throwing crazy allegations that if you've got a good sheriff,
right?
I mean, they're targeted nationally.
Right.
I'm
right.
sure there's Soros money coming out of the woodwork on this one. But they want, for example, if you look at a situation like Johnson County where they have efficient sheriffs, efficient schools
right.
on the Kansas side. They do things differently there. Everything, the 911 calls get answered in 9 seconds.
Right.
All right. And they're answered by trained 911,
right.
Trained officers.
Right.
And then you go to the other counties where they've successfully politicized the process.
Right.
And you're lucky if anybody even, if you don't just get put on hold.
Right. Speaking of which, here's my...
That is a lovely ringtone.
Isn't it? And it almost is not obtrusive.
I thought we were going to commercial break.
This is Mr. Scam Likely was calling me again.
Oh, right? Yeah.
There's a Babylon Bee thing about a guy named Scam Likely who's sitting there saying, how come no one returns my calls? No, in fact, that's why I didn't turn it off, because it's such a nice tone.
Thanks for that.
It sounds reasonable. There's this guy in Florida, I forget his name, a sheriff. His press briefings are like the hit of YouTube, right? Because unlike most...
Oh, yeah.
I think he's in Polk County or someplace.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
Because what he does is he just tells the truth.
Right.
So he'll say, we arrested 32 illegals here for child trafficking. And then you see 32 pictures of like these, MS-13 guys looking up. As opposed to saying, 32 young people were arrested today.
Apprehended in a blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You see these guys once in a while that pop up and they just tell the truth.
Yeah.
And it's so shocking and disarming to people. And half of us love it. And the brainwashed, gaslit Karens and everything, they must look in horror at that.
Yes, initially. And yet, when their own ox is being gored.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. That's always the case with them.
Right. So we saw this, for instance, and we talked about this before, not to get too local again, but the shooting at the Chiefs parade, right? There were 185 murders in Kansas City in 2023. So this is otherwise, if this shooting takes place, just some dude shoot another dude, happens every weekend, happens 185 times a year. If that happens a mile away at some other event, like let's say a block party, no one cares, right? But now you can't Karenize it. It's in your face. It affects your life and affects the reputation of your city. Right.
That's right. That's when the NFL and all this other stuff, which is anti-subsidiarity.
Yeah.
It's purposeful.
Yeah.
To get everybody glued to that tube, watching those woke commercials and all that crap.
Right.
And you spent the entire weekend not connecting with your fellow citizens.
That's right.
Not connecting with your family, not having discussions about issues, not writing letters.
Here's another one. Let's play games in Europe so that Sunday morning you can watch NFL football.
Oh, of course. Sunday morning, they've got to attack that more.
Right.
Because they got through with that last one with the disease.
Yeah.
With the illness.
Right. And that, and then churches, well, they didn't bounce back. They reopened. Most mainstream churches lost a third of their congregation.
Is that right?
Yeah. Not the church I go to and you go to sometimes is flourished.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
You're trying to diminish my...
I haven't seen you lately. I'm just saying.
I go, that's because I go earlier than you, Jack.
So no,
as additional penance, I get up 2 hours earlier on my Sunday.
Right. A pair of Pharisees debate who is holier of the two. Well, they otherwise committing various sins.
Like exactly.
Jeffrey Tubinizing under the table.
While they Are you doing that again?
I wouldn't do that.
Nah.
But... No, I mean it's part of the sinister nature of the anti-subsidiarity forces, right?
It is. It is. And they've gobbled up the weekend and I don't want to sound like a scold who doesn't like, you know, sports are fine. I don't consume much of it. When I was through playing, I was through caring.
Yeah.
Basically, I don't like to what do they call people that go watch big events
Fans?
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I guess that's it.
It's fan is really a shortening of fanatic.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. And probably, well, I mean, not everyone's a fanatic, but we're all fanatical about something, I suppose. So I have only one team I'm fanatic about. I won't even mention
Purdue basketball.
Because I don't know how they'll do. You know, I'm speaking the first day of the NCAA tournament.
Well, let's talk about Purdue basketball. We've got five or six viewers that have heard of it before.
Well, they won the Big Ten second year in a row. They were number three in the country.
Wow, that's your alma mater, isn't it?
And yes, it is. And it's a one seed second year in a row. But there is a liability, and that is that last year they lost in the first round. So it's been a curse, a burden, that they will either expunge this week or they will double that burden. They'll have multiple monkeys sitting on their back going forward. So I'm not looking forward to the week. I would just wait for it to be over and hope that everything
feel bad out. For the Boilermakers.
So, I mean, like last year, for instance, on the day of the Super Bowl, the Chiefs were playing in a Super Bowl, and I was more worried about the Purdue-Northwestern game, which had no meaning whatsoever except to me. So,
wow, that we all sounds have our, like...
But here's the difference, and this goes back to subsidiarity. A university where you spent 5 years... is a natural connection.
Yeah.
It's an organic connection to a place. Moving to a new city and starting rooting for the new team is not. It is a, Kurt Vonnegut had a term for this, was the Grand Falloon. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm.
This is the congregation of people who have no real contact with each other, no real natural community experience, but are somehow connected by this great umbrella. So to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan is it's a Grand Falloon. There's a restaurant in Kansas City called the Grand Falloon, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure named after the Vonnegut. Because it's a made-up name.
I think he made it up, yeah.
So, but in a subsidiary...
Been around for 50 years.
The subsidiary at its best, you take a natural cohort of people who have the same shared interest.
That's right.
And probably the best example is the school board battles.
Yeah. This is a natural reflection of tribalism and,
right,
and proximity and things like that. It's a natural human. And unless you let them screw you up with all their chaos and everything, it's how humans interact.
Right.
How we communicate. How we demand accountability and transparency in anyone who represents us. It's how we've always applied our agency.
Right. And that's within the first part of that, though. And who's the comedian at a line? Was it Woody Allen or someone who said the most important thing is showing up?
Oh, I don't know.
It's either him or Yogi Berra or Benjamin Franklin or Winston Churchill, I don't know. Someone says something about showing up. Most important thing, I don't know. I don't even have the quote right. But the punchline is to show up. And to make subsidiarity work.
That's it.
You've got to show up.
98% of the game is showing up.
Right. That's it. Must be Yogi Berra. And so if you don't show up at that school board meeting, then you have to not only show up, but you have to speak up.
Yes.
And today's media, you've got to participate.
And just be honest.
Yeah.
If something smells like BS, call it out.
Right.
Just say, hey, nah, no, I, you can't do the trans story hour with the kids, no.
Or you just, when this has happened, school board meeting one after another. I just watched one yesterday. These get amplified, by the way. You have to use social media to get your message out beyond the people in that room, and it's easily done. Just ask your grandchild or child, you know, they'll show you how. But it was a black pastor, and he did what a lot of people have done. He's reading from the book that's in one of the school libraries. And these books are, they're basically gay porn.
Right.
I mean, you could have been arrested for this.
Yes.
50 years ago.
And he starts, not even having anything to do with kids.
No.
Just by
right.
reading
right.
it.
Right. You could, yeah, you'd have to sell it.
You'd find it at the Time to Read bookstore downtown.
On 42nd Street.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Next to the
come on, this ain't a library. Move on. Move it on.
Right. And then there is that... what was it? Again, I'm making too many Woody Allen references, which shows the scope of my life, where he goes into a little newsstand and he buys a orgy magazine, and then he buys a National Review and a commentary. And so he takes him up the stand just to pay to buy him, you know. And the guy goes out, commentary, National Review, orgy magazine. I was like, and he cringes, but... That's part of what it
like
was like.
Like the kid in American Graffiti buying the prophylactics. Yeah, give right. me some gum, a pack of Winston, and these Trojans.
A comparable thing for Catholics in confession, right? Disobeyed my parents and teachers three times, you know. Told lies twice, you know. Had sex with my teacher four times, you know.
Stole a Chevy 2 Nova.
But... Where did we launch from here?
I don't know. Subsidiary. Holding people accountable. I don't know.
I'll wind my way back there. I have some important point to make, but let's see. Back up. What about, I don't know. It'll come to me later.
Let's just look back and see if we can't move it back 5 minutes.
I don't want to work too hard to try to get there. But showing up, that's the critical part. Oh, anyhow, so what happens with this guy? Now I'm back to it. He's reading this pornographic material
yeah.
to the school board, and then they had the police come and escort him out of there. Right,
mm-hmm.
But it's okay for kids in schools.
Right. Those kind of issues. Now, things have gotten too far out of hand by the time those issues can take effect. I mean, hopefully with subsidiarity, it never gets to the point.
Right.
Because what they're doing is those are not local-minded people. These are the chaos creators.
Right.
These are the demonic, national, the moral relativist, secular humanist, eugenicist. These people are bad news.
And they're feeding off the whole woke hive mind, where they're the local agents.
Yes,
Yes. They've beaten us to those positions.
That's
so
right.
So they own the American Library Association. There's a communist lesbian who's the head of the American
That's
Library
right.
Association.
That's right.
We're fighting back.
Teachers union, you right. go on and on and on.
The states are fighting back by disassociating from the American Library Association.
Yeah.
Missouri has done it.
Is
Texas
that right?
has done it, yes. So we don't want to, we're not contributing to your cause at all, you know. But they have beaten us to those positions. By and large.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're in a defensive mode, but
that's
right. where it begins. And you begin by showing up.
And you get somebody good on a local level like Crosby when...
He was head of the libraries, yeah.
But the battle is so far lost before you even get there. You have such an uphill battle if you don't start doing it at the most local level and making sure that those people don't creep into that, and those associations and those nonprofit organizations. NGO. That's a great example. Yeah. Just the term itself shouldn't exist.
Right.
Because there shouldn't be any GOs.
No.
To start with.
Right. And then you end it. And then what you do is you just obliterate the paper trail. I mean, that's what basically they're for, to funnel money in ways that can't be traced back.
And it's fascism, really.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing about fascism, isn't it, that 95% of the people engaged in it think everyone else is a fascist?
Well, it's like Huey Long, the former governor of, famed governor, fairly corrupt governor of Louisiana, once said, talking about whether fascism can come to America. He said this 70, 80 years ago. He said, yeah, but it'll come disguised as anti-fascism. And that's exactly what's happened.
Exactly what's happened.
And it is up to people like ourselves just here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to, I would invite our audience, listeners, especially those who are in our Kansas City metropolitan area, that if they want to become a voice for reason and common sense and subsidiarity, first they have to learn how to pronounce the word and say it fluently.
And then write it down so you can remember
it. So it comes trippingly off their tongue. To contact the folks here at Real Media, where we're situated here today in Overland Park, Kansas. Just look up REAL Media. Great folks that do a great job. You could have your own podcast. You won't be as entertaining or as good looking as we are.
There's a small chance that.
But there's an excellent chance you'll have more hair than we'll have.
Yes.
So that's your foothold. You could have a
probably
show.
More friends.
probably maybe even more viewers. I don't know. You know? But not the international audience.
And also, from a subsidiarity standpoint, feel free to lash out in our comments section and to give. We always welcome topics and things like that
right.
that need to be more focus on local
right.
address.
Or you can, anyone who wants to contact me can do so through my website, cashel.com. Beat all my relatives, much to their embarrassment, to that 25 years ago I got in there. Got my own website, 7letter.com. That's not too bad. But anyhow, we thank you for listening and watching. Well, always a pleasure.
Likewise, Jack. Thank you.
Thank you for introducing me to this word. I will never forget it, all six syllables. And we'll be back next week. See you guys.
Bye-bye.